Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day of worship. We thank you we can be gathered in your very presence as your children to express our love for you, our gratitude to you, and to be able to join our hearts with your children in all parts of the world this day, to come before the presence of the great Almighty God, who has reached out to us while we are yet in darkness and sins. Father, we thank you for the wonderful plans, your kind intentions toward each one of us and for us together as your people in the Lord Jesus Christ. That this has been in your heart even before the foundation of the world. We pray that you will help us to deepen in our appreciation of what you've revealed in the scriptures, of what is in your heart, so that we can align our heart with your heart. Thank you for the example of the Apostle Paul. We ask that you will help us to understand what is it that gripped him, what he concentrated upon, all he wanted to be is to be a faithful steward of the mystery. We pray that you will help us to identify with his heart, that we too may learn to live our lives on earth in the same spirit, moving towards the same goal, and that together as your people, we may know how to express church life, that together we may be built up in love and grow unto maturity in the Lord Jesus Christ, that indeed you may be glorified, and that we too may experience the deep working of your spirit in our hearts in such a way that more and more we may be conformed to the image of Christ. We commit this time to your hands and pray that you'll be pleased to bless us with your presence, and the Spirit of God will be with the freedom to speak to us and to renew our minds so that we can absorb the truth in a way that will help us to know how to live each day from the perspective of God's kingdom, reflecting the values of God's children in your kingdom. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We have been considering the church and the fulfillment of God's purposes, the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. We are considering the big picture and the subtopic for today, Paul, a trustworthy steward of the mystery, the third message. In the last two messages, we looked at the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul as a good example for us. Paul was faithful in fulfilling what the Lord entrusted to him, and he devoted his whole life to accomplish this goal. This is what gripped him. We can summarize it as to be a faithful stewardship of the mystery. Paul knew this was in the heart of God even before the foundation of the world. That is, the mystery which has been revealed with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it has to do with the fulfillment of God's purposes, including how he desires to accomplish it. And this is the central message of the scriptures. At the heart of it is God's intentions for us in Christ, and also how they can be attained. So at this point in time, we are grouping together different expressions and ways the Apostle Paul expresses this core area of truth. They can be found in many key verses in many of his epistles. We can say that they keep flowing forth from his heart. And it's good, as we look at them, they can help us to gain an insight into the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. What preoccupies him, what motivates him, and also the core center of his life from which flow forth his ministry, his conduct, his values, his perspective, his priorities, how he thinks, how he makes decisions. If you can see all this, that it is there in the scriptures recorded for our learning. and learn to identify with Paul, not just mentally recognizing it, but also how we ought to live our lives each day. The goal, the direction, our priorities, how we make our own decisions. We can say that this core area of truth is the underlying theme of Paul's epistles. And it's good that we learn to identify with the heart of Paul, even as Paul sought to identify his heart with the heart of God. We are concerned about true service. Let us learn from the Apostle Paul what is true service. We have covered 20 points, and 18 of them from Ephesians and Colossians in the past two messages. These two are very important epistles which complement one another. In these two epistles, Paul communicates significant spiritual truths in relation to the mystery, the church, and the fulfillment of God's purposes. And together with that, it also helps us to understand how Paul sought to fulfill what the Lord had entrusted to him, and thereby being a faithful steward of the mystery. So today we want to continue to look at this core area of truth in the heart of Paul, as reflected in his epistles, his life, and his ministry. In the last message, I mentioned Paul concluded the last chapters of Ephesians, Colossians, and 2 Thessalonians with similar requests for prayer on his behalf. This tells us, at the end of all these three epistles, he requested prayer, and all three prayers, although there are different words used, it basically has to do with the same area. And that tells us that this is the most important issue to the Apostle Paul regards to his life and ministry. So, he requested for prayer that he might make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. That's in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19. And then in Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, his request was that he might clearly make known the mystery of Christ. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, he also requested prayer that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly, including in relation to his part in it. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, Paul uses the expression the mystery of the gospel. Colossians 4, verse 3 is the mystery of Christ. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1 is the word of the Lord. But all these three expressions refer to the same core area of truth, the good news of God's intentions for us in Christ. That is the mystery now revealed, and in particular, Paul, the Lord revealed much to the Apostle Paul in this area, and through him, recorded in the scriptures now for our understanding. It's very important not only to recognize that this is a core area of truth in relation to the ministry of Paul and his epistles, but it's a central message of the scriptures. And we need to look to the Lord for spiritual insight, to understand what this is all about. And if we can see it properly, we can see this core area of truth from which flow forth all the other major areas of truth in the scriptures. There is a unity in the message that God wants to transmit. You can say there's actually one basic message that God wants to communicate to us through the scriptures, and that is the revelation of the mystery. What is in God's heart in relation to the fulfillment of his purposes? Why did he create us? What is the goal? And how can this goal be attained? And the very core center of it is the expression of healthy church life. So today we want to carry on to look at the other epistles of Paul. And we see that again and again, this core area of truth in different ways, in key verses and passages, it keeps flowing forth from the heart of Paul. Let us now also look at the book of Romans, the end of the book of Romans. You may wonder, when you read through the book of Romans, did Paul really write anything of significance in relation to the mystery in the book of Romans? The answer is he did. A very clear yes. Paul actually mentioned very important and key aspects of the meaning of the mystery. And he actually wrote it in very clear, explicit terms. And it's in the last three verses of Romans when Paul summed up, described his ministry and linking it to the core area of truth. Let us turn to Romans chapter 16 and look at the last three verses, verses 25 to 27. Verse 25, now to him, that is to God, who is able to establish you according to my gospel. So God can establish the brethren, the believers, and he says, according to my gospel, that is the gospel preached by Paul, which is what? He says, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ. And not only that, he went on to say, according to the revelation, the mystery. Very interesting. In a few words, Paul tells us key issues that we've been considering in relation to the mystery. The gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, is according to the revelation of the mystery. Why do we preach the gospel? Why do we preach Jesus Christ? What does it consist of? What is the content? What is the goal? It is that we may be able to appreciate how we can move together with God, respond to God, respond to God's call in relation to the fulfillment of his purposes. At the heart of it is God's provision of Christ. The good news, the Messiah has come. But not only that, verse 26, Paul went on to say, but now is manifested. Revelation of the mystery, verse 25, he says, which has been kept secret for long ages past. It has been kept secret. But now is manifested. So this is why we've been considering all this while. The mystery in times past, not revealed, but now manifested with the coming of Christ. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, has been made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. It is now manifested. It is also the message of the scriptures. And it is according to the commandment of the eternal God, made known to all the nations. God wants the mystery to be made known to all the nations, leading to obedience of faith. It doesn't just end with just making known. God's desire is that this can lead to the obedience of faith, that the hearers will respond to the gospel and obey the implications of the gospel, leading to obedience of faith. And for believers, same, you'll continue to the blossoming and all the richness of the meaning of the revelation of the mystery and how God wants us to respond to his calling. And Paul ended verse 27, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, be the glory forever. Amen. We know that these are all very related to the mystery and the fulfillment of God's purposes. Our appreciation that this comes from the only wise God. And it's through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ we come to God, and through Jesus Christ we can attain to what God desires for us through the revelation of the mystery. Be the glory forever. Amen. The glory to the Lord as we respond in this way. So point 21. The gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the mystery, and what is revealed in the scriptures. Point 21, we see that there are actually four expressions here. The gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the mystery, and fourth, what is revealed in the scriptures. Any of these, you can say, can summarize the whole core area of truth that we are considering, the gospel, the good news. That's one way of expressing the meaning of the mystery. The preaching of Jesus Christ, same. The preaching of Jesus Christ includes also the implications of the coming of Christ and what it means. And the revelation of the mystery. And we can say this is actually the fullest way we can express this core area of truth, is the revelation of the mystery. The revelation of the mystery comes from there flow forth the revelation of God's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ, the good news. And what is revealed in the scriptures. All these are revealed in the scriptures. So four expressions grouped together as one point, point 21, but they are actually four different ways of expressing the same area of truth. So you want to, you put them separately, you will cover 21, 22, 23, 24. Four points. But I'll group them together. And along the way, you'll notice from time to time I do that. In either one verse or a few verses, there can be different ways, more than one point, but grouped together. So Paul tells us, he says, according to my gospel, that's the gospel that he preached. So Paul's gospel is the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see this in verse 25. To him who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. And is according to God's revelation of the mystery. Verse 25 tells us that, according to the revelation of the mystery. All that Paul preached on the gospel, the Lord Jesus, is according to the revelation of the mystery. And what is revealed in the scriptures, verse 26. Now manifested, and Paul tells us about the scriptures. And this actually has reference also to the Old Testament, but especially the New Testament. But the Old Testament, very difficult to really understand the mystery. A little bit here and there. But in the light of the New Testament, yes, there are many things in the Old Testament now can be appreciated. Why they are recorded the way they are recorded. And it's part of the unfolding of God's purposes. So all these are meant to result in the obedience of faith. Verse 26. Made known to all the nations, leading to the obedience of faith. And thereby the believers are established. Verse 25. Now to him who is able to establish you. God wants us to be established. Established in the faith. And installation of the gospel, the preaching of Jesus Christ, the revelation of the mystery. So established by whom? Is established by God. Now to him who is able to establish you. So these three verses are very rich in meaning in relation to this area that we are considering. Established by God, but it doesn't stop there. It's not just established by God, but it's established by God through the ministry of God's people. Why do I say that? Verse 25 tells us, now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel, that is the preaching, the ministry of the Apostle Paul. So God works through his servants. And Paul is not the only one. He's entrusted now to all of us as his children, in different ways, members of the body of Christ. But together, when we respond to God, there's the obedience of faith, each one of us fulfilling our part, our role as God desires of us, it will be a very beautiful picture of the wholesome totality of what God wants to bring about. God has to work, but through his people submitted to him, Christ the head of the body, submitted to the kingship of Christ, and God overall, supervising, overseeing the whole thing in relation to the unfolding and the fulfillment of his purposes. So all this, these three verses also indicates to us that this has been in the heart of God before the foundation of the world. Verse 15, which has been kept secret for long ages past. So you read this together with other passages we looked at that Paul wrote in his epistles. And it is revealed to us, it is now revealed, verse 26, but now is manifested by the time of Paul, because Christ has come. So now it is revealed, and is revealed by the only wise God. That's how Paul referred to God in verse 27, to the only wise God. So God in his wisdom already has his plans and purposes before the foundation of the world, but now reveal and the various aspects of the mystery and how his purposes can be accomplished flows forth from the heart and mind of God according to his perfect wisdom. Ephesians tells us his grace, his love. You can say the old attributes of God are involved in the formulating of the mystery. And God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they are all involved. All this we have seen in the book of Ephesians. In an earlier message, I did mention this point. So, and then to the, it's revealed to us by the only wise God, to whom we come through Jesus Christ. Verse 27, he says, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ. The principle is there. It's through Christ we can come to know God. And it's always through Christ that we approach God and work out our faith together with the Lord. And to whom be the glory forever. So that tells us, as we move in this direction, it will accomplish what ought to be in our heart, the glory of God. And not just momentary, it's forever. That has two, there are two ways we can appreciate this part about God's glory and the concept here of forever. That is, how we respond to God and work out to God in the way he desires in accordance with the revelation of the mystery glorifies God, and how we, when we glorify God in this way, it has eternal significance. The other is the revelation of the mystery, and as we respond that way, it's meant to be a continuing thing right through eternity. It carries on the eternal, in the eternal kingdom of God. And this is what has been entrusted to the Apostle Paul. What Paul devoted his life to. Because Paul recognized this is what God desires to be made known to the nations. We saw that in verse 26. Is according to the commandment of the eternal God. Still verse 26. This is what Paul devoted his life. And this is also what we must devote our lives to. But we have different roles. But the goal is the same. And there are many, many aspects of what Paul has written, the epistles, that are applicable to all believers, to all of us. So let us now look at how Paul describes what he's committed to, his ministry, and what was entrusted to him by the Lord in his other epistles. We have looked at several, quite a lot of it, in Ephesians, Colossians. We look at Romans. Let us now look at Corinthians. This, I remind you, in earlier message, that Paul described the totality of his ministry to the Corinthian believers in these words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Beginning with verse 1, Paul says, when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or of wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. So he says, when I came to you, what was it that Paul concentrated on? And how did he describe the totality of his ministry? Verse 2, for I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's all that he was interested in when he came to them. That sums up his ministry. And we pause and consider, then it is true. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Seems quite narrow. Are there not so many other things that Paul shared with them, ministered to them, encouraged them? But actually, it all flows forth from the meaning of the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. God's intentions, provisions for us of the Lord Jesus and the meaning and implications of the cross. And when we respond, we understand, we respond properly, it will move in the direction of the fulfillment of God's purposes. But we need to understand the various aspects of the ministry. At the very heart of it, is God's intentions for us in Christ and what He has provided for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. So the point number 22, I determine to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Exactly the words in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 2. I mentioned the various points. I try to use Paul's own words, although the flow of it may not be exactly the same in terms of how the words are placed. But in this instance, point number 22 is exactly the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2. I determine to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I said, you can see, this sums up Paul's ministry, what he devoted his life to, what he concentrated upon, and is at the core center of the revelation of the mystery. So we can say the implications that flow forth from the cross and the risen Christ sums up Paul's ministry and what God had entrusted to Paul. I didn't mean to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The Him crucified there refers to the cross. Jesus Christ there actually refers to the risen Christ. Remember earlier we looked at Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the risen Christ. So in another verse to the Corinthians, Paul told the Corinthians believers the same thing, but he expressed it in different words. Let's refer to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and it's good to refer to the text. 1 Corinthians chapter 29, verse 23, Paul says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. You see the way that Paul expresses it in different words, but the meaning is clear and powerful. I do all things, whatever he did, is for the sake of the gospel. But the context is also helpful. Just the preceding verses, Paul says, verse 19, for though I am free from all men, I made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. And that is, he's flexible. He adjusted, he adapted. To the weak, verse 22, I became weak. To those who are without law, verse 21, as without law. There he's talking about, he sought to adjust, accommodate, but never compromising the primary thing that God had entrusted to him. And why did he do all these things? Verse 23, I do all things for the sake of the gospel. So just to be prepared to endure a lot of hardship is nothing, of no value, if you do not link it to the core center. I do all things for the sake of the gospel. So Paul was prepared to suffer. He was prepared to labor hard. But whatever he did was for the sake of the gospel. And what is that? The sake of the gospel? The gospel is the good news of God's intentions for us in Christ. So I do all things for the sake of the gospel tells us what motivated Paul in everything he did and what he devoted his life to, and that is the gospel. We can say it is the stewardship entrusted to Paul, verse 17. He talked about verse 16, preaching the gospel, and he mentions about the stewardship entrusted to him. So this is exactly what we are talking about. What was entrusted to Paul? The stewardship of the gospel, the stewardship of the mystery. And for that, he devoted his whole life. Whatever he did was for the sake of the gospel, to fulfill the stewardship of what was entrusted to him. The good news of God's intentions for us in Christ and how they can be attained. So whatever Paul taught, epistles he wrote, he can be ministering for years, is all the same thing. The gospel is implications and the attainment of what is in the heart of God before the foundation of the world and the accomplishment of God's purposes. Let's now look at the next epistle. And you may notice from here, I try to go in order. We look at Romans, Corinthians, the next book, Galatians, to the Galatian believers, the next group of people. We look at Galatians, and we look at Galatians chapter 1. Actually, there's a lot more. If you look through, you can do it on your own, in your own time. I'm now just extracting some very key verses. I want to make sure I can communicate, transmit this point, that these are very key verses, and they all reveal to us the heart of Paul, his ministry, and subsequently, after I've completed these few messages from the Apostle Paul, if you put them all together, I don't think I'll do that. I'm already now in the process. You put them together, it gives a very composite picture that can transmit powerfully to you the truth that I'm trying to communicate. What is in the heart of Paul, what God had entrusted to Paul, and also to all of us, how we should live our lives. So if you look at Galatians, here again in two key verses in Galatians, Paul told the Galatian believers the gospel preached by him was not according to man, but he received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. There is the close relationship between the gospel and what is it all about? It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. I will very briefly comment on the meaning of this. So as I go through these verses, I give very brief comments to draw out the central meaning. But various of these verses, you can preach many messages on them. They are very rich in meaning. Galatians chapter 1, look at verses 11 and 12. Verse 11, Paul says, "For I would have you know, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to men." So he's talking about the gospel preached by him. He says it's not according to men. Verse 12, the second part. "But I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ." So maybe I summarize this as the 24th point first and then a few brief comments. So the 24th point is preaching the gospel received through a revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is trying to tell us in these two verses. He preached the gospel and he received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. The meaning of through a revelation of Jesus Christ can be meaningfully appreciated from the angle of Christ's revelation of himself to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus and falling from there, continuing fuller and fuller revelation of Christ to Paul and all the implications that flow forth from there. But the starting point was on the road to Damascus. The Lord just revealed himself to Paul. But it's not just a very extraordinary experience. That's all. No. The revelation of Jesus Christ, Paul links it to the gospel. God's revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ to Paul. That's where I'll come to afterwards. Both. The Lord Jesus revealed himself to Paul on the road to Damascus. But we can also say God revealed Christ to Paul. If you look at verses 15 and 16. Verse 15. "But when God, who had set me apart even from my mother's womb and called me through his grace..." So Paul is now talking from the angle of God. God set Paul apart even from his mother's womb, called Paul through his grace. And what follows? "Was pleased," verse 16, "to reveal his son to me." So to fulfill God, his calling, and God setting him apart, even from the mother's womb, has to do with the revelation of Christ to Paul. And he says, in me, not just external, but inside, within, in his heart, in his mind, in his spirit, a revelation of Christ, so that Paul understood the meaning of God's provision of Christ, not just as a concept. But verse 16 didn't end there. He says, "to reveal his son in me so that I might preach him." God's revelation of Christ to Paul was for a purpose. Yes, first of all, for himself. That is essential, and that is must also be true for each one of us. You want to serve the Lord, you must first concentrate on the knowledge of Christ. First, you must be converted, the revelation of Christ in your heart, and then a growing appreciation of Christ, who He is, and the implications, including Christ in you, the hope of glory, and all the scriptures, scriptural revelation, as Paul put it, we saw just now, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What do these things mean? We look at Ephesians, God's intentions for us in Christ. So, God revealed Christ to Paul, verses 15 and 16, so that he might preach Christ, verse 16. So this tells us, at the heart of the gospel message and the ministry of Paul, entrusted to him by the Lord, is the good news, the gospel, of God's revelation and provision of Christ for us. So we see here in Galatians, in different words, and also does mention other aspects that alludes to the revelation of Christ to Paul on the road to Damascus, but the same core area of truth. The gospel is the good news of God's revelation of Christ and God's provision of Christ for us. Now, this leads us to a brief and very powerful way that Paul communicates to us what he's preoccupied with and how he lived his life. This is what he testified to the Philippian believers. Let us turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. We can say that this is a key verse in the scriptures. There are some key verses in the scriptures that are very powerful. I regard this as one of the very powerful verses in the scriptures. Just a few words, but very powerful. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Again, you can preach many messages from this verse. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me to live is Christ. For to me to live is Christ. And this we can say, we can put it as point 25. For to me to live is Christ. This, you can say, sums up Paul's life. And it's very rich in meaning. For to me to live is Christ, you can appreciate from the angle as to what motivates and energizes Paul. He concentrated on the Lord Jesus Christ. His ministry is Christ, proclaiming Christ. The preceding verse tells us, verse 20, the exaltation of Christ, verse 20. With all boldness, Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. All the time he wants to exalt Christ. Then he said, for to me to live is Christ. So it includes this part, the exaltation of Christ in all that he does. Bringing glory to the Lord Jesus, exalting Christ. The other is, what motivated Paul? The primary motivation of his life is, for to me to live is Christ. That is what life is all about. His life, his ministry, you can see also the basis and the content of his ministry. What is the content of his ministry? To preach Christ. For to me to live is Christ. To make him known, to preach him, to communicate him. Paul himself received life from Christ. For to me to live is Christ. When he wants to, his very life, he needs to receive, continually receive the life from Christ. As the Lord Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. The continuing reception of life from Christ. He himself received life from Christ, and he also preaches Christ and seeks to transmit the person of Christ to those he comes into contact. Whether in a group, personal level, he sought to preach Christ, but not just as a concept. When he preaches Christ, he seeks to transmit the reality of Christ. So not just talking about Christ, but transmitting the reality of Christ. And in true preaching, when we preach about Christ, if a preacher preaches properly, the hearers receive properly, when Christ is preached, the hearer will also be ministered by the life of Christ and will be the transmission of the life of Christ will go through, not just concepts. And together with that, the ministry of Christ in the heart of the believer, being transformed. Because in and through Christ, the hearer enters into God's intentions for men. First for Paul himself, and then those he ministered to. Paul knew it's only through Christ, and then in Christ, that the hearer can enter into God's intentions for men. First, non-believers, but it doesn't stop with conversion. For believers, same. You need to continue to preach Christ. That's why Paul told the Corinthian believers, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And he was talking to believers. Because there's so much more that we need to know about Christ and to enter into all that God intends for us in Christ, to walk in Christ, Paul tells us this in Colossians, and to be built up in Him, and to be conformed to the image of Christ. So first Paul himself, and then his ministry, and likewise for ourselves. We need to continue to grow in our appreciation of Christ and the ministry of Christ in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit helps to bring this about. He has come to glorify Christ. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, critical. But we need to know at the heart of it is God's revelation of Christ and the provision of Christ. And as we grow, that is the basis of our ministry. More and more we'll then be able to be witnesses to the truth and transmit Christ. We also proclaim Christ, preach Christ, transmit Christ in many different ways. Not all of us are called to the preaching ministry, but all of us are called to transmit the realities we've come to appreciate, experience, enter into in our relationship with Christ. Witnesses to Christ. A true witness in the biblical sense is one who has experienced the reality of what he seeks to communicate. It's a spiritual reality. The spiritual life and reality must be present. And the richer it is, the richer will be the transmission and the communication. So throughout our lives, we must continue. In the same way as what Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, is meant to be a lifelong thing. Continuing, receiving, growing, and transmitting. In another key verse, Paul testified to the Philippian believers his approach to life. Following from this next two verses, but the actual words is just in one verse, we see it's a very meaningful, complementary verse. It actually talks about the same thing, but in another way of expressing it. It tells us Paul's approach to life. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. Verse 14 are the words of point number 26. Verse 14, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Exactly, these words fit very nicely as one point. Point number 26. So this sums up to us Paul's approach to life as well as his ministry that will flow forth from it. He says for himself, his approach to life, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Yes, Paul has been converted. Revelation of Christ on the road to Damascus. God had revealed Christ to the Apostle Paul. But he continued to press on, not complacent. He kept on pressing on and upward towards the goal. He keeps making progress. And the goal is the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. God's intentions for us in Christ, in all its fullness. Paul knew he hasn't reached it, and nobody can attain to the fullness of it. Throughout our lives, we'll keep on, and we must keep on pressing toward this goal. for the price of the upward call of God. It's upward. Keep on making progress. It's God's intentions for us in Christ, and it is infinite. The unfathomable riches in Christ, and Christ being formed in us, being conformed to the image of Christ, we never attained to its perfection. In fact, even if you've been living well, you still have a long way to go. And in one sense, that is very encouraging. It tells us what a great God we have. And as we respond well, we already experience so much blessings of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. And to know that there's so much more that awaits us. And never having the attitude, I've attained, I've arrived. Paul, still pressing on. But not only that, Paul says, verse 15, let us therefore, as many as are perfect, the margin says mature, those who are mature, have this attitude. If your attitude is right, you must also have this attitude. You must also press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So you can say, throughout his life, Paul was diligent in seeking to attain to all that God intends for him in Christ. And you can refer to the preceding verse, verse 12. He says the same thing. Not that, verse 12, not that I've already obtained it, or I've already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. So when the Lord just met Paul on the road to Damascus, when the Lord just laid hold of Paul, the Lord Jesus had intentions for Paul, including his growth as well as his ministry. And Paul wanted to fulfill, to attain to all that Christ intended for him. But he says, not that I've already become perfect, but I press on. He wants to lay hold of all that Christ intended for him, to lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. There's a lot. The unfathomable riches of Christ. Verse 13, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward what lies ahead. That doesn't mean he cannot learn from the past, but his main concentration is the current and the future, his goal, his direction. To keep on moving forward and not to rest back and be complacent. Oh, I've already accomplished so much. And then verse 14, he tells us he press on toward the goal. And he wants us to recognize that all those of us with the right attitude have this attitude that he also has. That's in verse 15. And to make that even more clear, he tells us in verse 17, Paul exhorts the brethren to follow his example. Verse 17, brethren, join in following my example. So God has his plans and intentions for all men in Christ. There are certain fundamental, basic things that are similar for all, but the actual role that we are to fulfill in his overall plans and purposes will vary. Not just for us, different from Paul. All of us have different roles. None of us have identical roles. There's a part that God wants us to fulfill in his overall plans and purposes. And starting with, and the very major part, our role in the body of Christ in the local context. And then the local context have its part in the overall universal church. And then the whole big picture, not just the current universal church, but the whole big plans and purposes of God. He has his plans and intentions for each one of us, our part in his overall plans and purposes. That is what must be the consuming passion of our heart. What we are preoccupied with, what is most important to us. All other things are secondary. All other things must find its proper place in God's plan and purposes for us at a personal level and together as his people. So Paul devoted his life to minister to others in whatever way he could, in what direction, that they may also enter into this spirit and direction and goal. That they will also press on toward the goal for the prize of the outward call of God in Christ Jesus. That is why Paul says, follow my example. All believers should have this attitude. So it's not just for Paul. So this is the ministry entrusted to Paul and also to each one of us. First Paul for his own life, to press on toward the goal, and then to encourage and to help others to move in that direction. Likewise for us. We must first set our hearts to move in that direction, and then in what way we can fulfill our part to encourage others to also move in that direction. Let us now look at what Paul wrote to Timothy. After Philippians is Colossians, which we've already referred to. Then Thessalonians, I've referred to you. Also Thessalonians. So now I'll refer to Timothy. 1 Timothy. As I mentioned, actually if you go through the epistle, there's a lot that you can meaningfully derive in relation to the subject matter we are talking about. But there's not enough time to go through so many. So I will highlight some key passages and verses. So now we go on to Timothy. So Paul writing to Timothy, in the context where Paul was talking about one of the qualities to look for in the appointment of deacons. And what Paul writes here indicates what Paul regards as the core center of the Christian faith, which is the mystery. So I say the point first and then refer to verse. It's the same words actually of 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 9. It's the same words. And that's point 27. Holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. Holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. So if you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 27, or rather 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 9, is point 27 rather. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 9. Verse 8 he says, deacons likewise must be men of dignity and so on. Then verse 9 he says, holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. So an important quality to look for in a deacon is one who holds to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. What is Paul trying to tell us here? Holding to the mystery of the faith. In an earlier message, I mentioned the mystery of Christ, the mystery of the gospel. The mystery of the faith tells us what the faith is all about, is the mystery. The core center of the faith, as well as all the implications of the Christian faith, is the mystery of the faith. The mystery of Christ, Christ is the core center of the mystery. So the mystery of the faith, you can say, what defines true faith? What defines the Christian faith is actually the mystery. And Paul says, holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. What is that? That means you hold on to the mystery of the faith. That is, you will persevere. You will not deviate from it. You will not deviate from the truth of God's revelation of the mystery. What God has revealed in the mystery, that is the crux of the faith. Very, very important. Do not deviate from it. Persevere in it. And he says, with a clear conscience. That tells us, he's not just talking about affirming with our lips. Or you have a piece of paper, you write down all the points, you say, I agree, I affirm all this. Not sufficient. Paul says, with a clear conscience means from the heart. It involves your heart. It means your heart is aligned with the mystery of the faith. Your heart is aligned with the Christian faith. Your heart is aligned with the mystery. What God has revealed. That means your heart will then be aligned with the heart of God. The mystery is a revelation of what is in the heart of God. So, why does Paul say to look for, quality to look for in deacons, has to do with holding to the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience, because this is very important. In one sense, you can say that this is actually true of all believers. All of us must learn to hold to the mystery of the faith, or holding the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. But for deacons, or what you have to look for in terms of qualities, then this is important. Does he understand the faith? Is he committed? Is he faithful to God's revelation of the mystery? If he has deviated, especially in any important areas, then there's a very serious thing. So this has to do with the truth of the revelation of the mystery. But not only, as I said, the concept, but the understanding is critical. The other is your heart aligned to it? Or you say one thing, but your life is different. If your life is different, then you are not holding to the mystery of it with a clear conscience. So your heart must be aligned with the truth that God has revealed. The truth revealed. The truth of the mystery. I think I have to stop here because of time. No, Lord willing, I will continue the next message. On this subject of what we can learn from the Apostle Paul as a faithful, trustworthy steward of the mystery, his life, his ministry, and Paul's example for us. That the way Paul lived his life, what he was preoccupied with, is meant to be our example. But we see that this is something very beautiful. Over the years, and especially in recent times, as I was preparing these messages, more and more I see the blossoming from many different angles and a fuller, deeper appreciation of the beauty of the scriptures and the meaning of the inspiration of the scriptures. How all these various aspects in the epistles of Paul and later, and I've already referred to, subsequently will refer more, the ministry of the Lord Jesus himself and the central message of the scriptures. But not only that, what we can learn from the epistles of Paul is one thing, but the other is the marriage of the two. What Paul is writing to us, which we can learn from the text, but the other is Paul's life. The truths in the scriptures, in his epistles, are an integral part of Paul's life. They flow forth from his heart. So as we, one way of appreciating the text is to understand the truth that Paul is trying to tell us. The other is, as we read, to more and more look to the Lord to understand Paul, his heart, what he's preoccupied with, the thrust of his life, and, as Paul says, follow him, his example. And we have to follow him as he followed the example of Christ. But the other is the whole thrust of his life. In all these various key verses, we begin to appreciate why is it Paul tells us to follow him, his example. So then these truths that we are considering, the core center, the various areas of truth, comes alive to us because it is manifested in the life of a person. We talk about these various major areas of truth. They are very, very important. For to me to live is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory, and so on and so on. But to see how all these come together in the life of a person, from whom we can then learn to identify and then to see the application of all this for our own lives. And if we respond to what is revealed in the scriptures in this way, looking to the Lord, then our minds will be renewed, our heart will be molded, so that we will also learn to live like Paul. Although our role will not be exactly the same, as I said, different ones of us, our roles are different. But the thrust the direction of our lives, attitude of our heart, how we press on towards the goal. How, as Paul puts it, I desire to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I do all things for the sake of the gospel and so on. All this can then be meaningfully a part of our lives and how we approach all the various issues of life. Ask ourselves, our life, is it set in that direction? When we consider issues, including career and so on, and how we channel our time, energy, do they flow forth from what ought to preoccupy us at the core center of our life? All these various things flow forth from the core center of Paul's life. They ought also, in that way, to flow forth from our life. I mentioned when we look at Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, that when he talks about making the most of your time, husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, that it all flows forth from the core center. It's a continuation of the first few chapters in Ephesians. Then chapter 4, he says, walk worthy of the calling. And then he went on to talk about various aspects of life. So as I said, make the most of your time. It's not just occupy yourself or even do legitimate things. But the most of your time, meaning the most effective way to channel your time, to spend your time. How? Is it consistent with God's call? What is in the heart of God? His revelation of the mystery. What is most important? And is that how God then wants us to channel our time, to make the most of our time? Likewise, how we love our children, the husband-wife relationship. And even the context in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul points us to the relationship between Christ and the church, which I did mention, is a very core, is part of the core center of the revelation of the mystery, God's intentions, relationship between Christ and the church, the goal and the fulfillment of God's purposes. So there's much that we can continue to learn and benefit from the scriptures. Let's now spend some time to prepare our hearts to partake the Lord's Supper and ask the Lord to help us to gain deeper insight into the heart, the life, the ministry of the Apostle Paul, his appreciation of the mystery, and how Paul lived his life. How then ought we to live our lives? How our minds can be renewed, and how we can have the proper goals, not just mental, but the spiritual reality. Do we do all things for the sake of the gospel? The gospel, the good news of the mystery now revealed. How can we be true, effective witnesses to the truth of the gospel, of the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, what God intends for us in Him, and the way to attain to it in the midst of it, is the centrality of the role of the church and how church life ought to function. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us, that we may appreciate more deeply the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul, what he seeks to transmit, and how we can receive the truth deeply in a way that will make a definite positive difference to the way we live our lives, our priorities, our perspective of things and issues. And are there steps that we need to take to nurture the positive dimensions, steps that we need to take to remove the hindrances in the way that God wants us to live our lives? Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your kind intentions toward us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you revealed in the scriptures. Thank you for the life and example of the Apostle Paul. We pray, Father, that you will help us to gain insight into what you desire to teach us and communicate to us through the scriptures, that our heart may be aligned with your heart, that we'll be able then to participate meaningfully, effectively in the accomplishment of your purposes. We pray that you be pleased to do a deep work in each heart, that the meaning and implications of Christ in you, the hope of glory, may be increasingly realized in our personal lives, and also your intentions for us in expression of church life, that we may indeed manifest the glory of Christ, the glory of God, and also the hope of glory you intend, the glory to be manifested even in the lives and through the lives of your children, because of the reality of your working in our hearts, that we may manifest the life of Christ and Christ increasingly formed in us. We thank you now for the Lord's Supper we can partake together. We ask for your blessings on the bread and wine. We ask that you will help us to partake in faith, and that we will not partake in an unworthy manner. All this we ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.